Welcome to Create the Movement podcast. Create the Movement is an online marketing team focused on collaborating with law firms and businesses nationwide. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement. Welcome to Create the Movement podcast. My name is Brad Post, and I'm sitting here with Josh Rich.
Hello, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great, Brad.
Well, we are talking marketing tips today. We've gone through some social media things. We've gone through quite a few other, you know, paid advertising analytics. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about content today.
Content, right? As a whole, and then kind of taking a closer look at blogging today as well.
Okay.
Kind of the different things. So just to get into it. So content, when we say content, it's a very broad term. It could be anything. It's not just written content. It could be videos, it could be quizzes, it could be infographics, it could be anything.
I mean,
just anything that people see and ingest as information.
Could be audio podcast.
Could be audio, yeah. I mean, really, it could be anything.
Right.
So whenever you're creating content for your online presence, you know, whether it be website, social media, whatever, there's two kind of things you want to consider, two goals you want to keep in mind. And generally speaking, content could and should fall into these two categories.
Okay.
So the first one is to drive traffic to your website.
Right.
The second one is going to be to sell.
Okay,
so to kind of break this down a little bit more. So the traffic one, that's kind of what it's somewhat commonly referred to as like clickbait, just things that people click on, go to the website, see it. So it's not necessarily something like a hard sell that you're doing. It's just people to like get to know the brand and whatnot. It's also kind of to rank well as well for SEO purposes, get people to like say, drive traffic to the website. That'll in turn kind of increase your SEO. So that's where you can kind of put some of your keywords as well. And then the second one, like I said, is just to sell. So that's where you're going to be really conversion focused and making sure that once they're there, they know what you're selling or what you're doing. So that way they have a clear path of the buying process.
Okay.
So make sure, like I said, generally speaking, it should fall into one of those two categories. If it's outside of one of those, you might need to take a look at it and reconsider strategies there.
You called it clickbait?
Clickbait, yeah. Okay. So just people, like a little topic, like five things you're doing wrong in your marriage or whatever.
Post that through social media.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong in marriage? I need to figure this out.
Okay, right.
And so it's somewhat of like reactionary, somewhat kind of fear-mongering, but it works really well.
Okay.
Sadly. So one of the first things you're going to need to decide whenever you're creating content is, first of all, it's your topic.
Okay.
It seems pretty basic, but there's some strategy behind topics. The biggest thing you want to consider is what your customers need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to figure out what their needs are. You don't want to just like make things they already know or they don't care about. So make sure it's geared towards your customer. One easy way to do this is if you have a big sales team or have any sort of information from sales, is to ask them.
What kind of questions are you getting?
Frequently asked questions that your sales teams get is almost the best way to get good content.
Okay.
Because that's what people care about, because they're asking it.
Mm-hmm.
The other way is you can check forums on the industry, you can check just like social media and just see what people are asking and see what people are confused about. If you can find something that your customers are frequently confused about, that's a great way to fill that hole and fill information and be recognized as a source of good information.
Going to forums, seeing what questions are being asked within these forums.
Exactly.
And whatnot.
And then creating content to answer those, then going back into those forums and posting and say, hey, here's a great blog on this. Read it, and that'll drive traffic.
Okay.
So that's a really good way to do it. And just in general, if there's one thing that you should know about content, it's topic in generals, is that it should be educational, not promotional.
Okay.
So that's kind of like one of the biggest things that we see is people like, oh, they're going to spend time and money to invest into like creating content, whether they're doing it or paying someone to do it, they want it to like sell something. They want to have like a direct return off that.
Okay.
Which isn't necessarily the best strategy, because people see through that. And so whenever you're thinking about just like inbound marketing in general, it's not really sales focused. It's not really like promotional. It's not just like, hey, hire us here, buy this. You want to educate the consumer because they are way more likely to buy from you if you can educate them as opposed to just sell to them.
You're letting them know why they need your product.
Exactly, without telling them why they need your product.
Right.
In a way. So it's kind of backwards, but it works really well. So just stop selling so much and you'll do a lot better.
Okay.
So it's okay. And I would recommend still having like a very small sales pitch at the end. You kind of need to just build up to that.
Okay.
You don't want to just come out and saying, hey, here's the product, buy it. The only time I'd really recommend like writing content about a specific product is if you're like having a sale,
mm-hmm.
and you okay, here's some things that were that's on sale this week or whatever. Here's a quick little snippet on it. Because no one's going to want to read a blog just about your widget, you know, unless it's just a really cool widget.
Right.
And even then, if you're going to do that, I'd recommend, like, talking about features and how it can help them and still being solution-based as opposed to selling-based.
And I'm kind of a weird reader sometimes. I'll go and look at the blog because I like the topic, and then I'll scroll to the very bottom and look at the sales pitch, see how much it cost or whatnot. And I'm like,
So you don't want to be, like, deceptive, but you don't want to be just overtly selling it
right,
to them.
Right.
So that's kind of just an overview of content creation and topic selection. And there's been some really interesting research on topic selection as far as, like, your title and the way you phrase that. It's just, you know, like, asking questions is always good. Putting numbers is really good. It's like five things you're doing wrong, you know, three things you need to know about X, Y, Z. For whatever reason, people love clicking on that kind of stuff.
Okay.
As opposed to just, like, a very generic, like, you know, car advice. Like, no one's going to click on that.
Right.
But if you let them know that, like, there are 5 points for this article, it's not going to take that long of your time, then people are going to click on it.
Right.
It's kind of weird how that works, but I do it.
Yeah, like, I do too. You know, just look at the bold one,
yeah,
two,
exactly.
Three,
yeah,
four,
we'll kind
five.
Of get into kind of some more structure strategy here.
So rather than car advice, it'd be the top three things you need to know.
Exactly. And so that's a good transition to kind of blogging,
because
that's really where you're going to get into, like, title selection and topic selection is really crucial to that. And so there's a lot of crossovers that blogging is content. So you still want to be educational. You still want to write for the reader. You want to write about your industry. You don't want to write about yourself. Because, you know, if it seems like, again, if it seems like you're just selling your services, if it seems like you're just writing about yourself, no one's going to read it. But if you seem like you're giving general industry advice that anyone can take advantage of, regardless of if they use your services or not, people are going to come to your website.
Okay.
And then in turn, eventually, they'll conversion will happen, and they'll buy from you.
And that's where, too, you can, like, we've, on our podcast before, mentioned, like, different companies that we follow, like SEO Moz, Raven Tools,
absolutely.
I mean, just some different things, and just kind of giving those other companies
So, like, so when you're blogging, you know, blogging used to be kind of just, like, this weird thing that, like, introverts used to do for themselves, but now it's really, like, a whole industry, and, like, almost every major business has some sort of a blog just as a way to keep their customers informed about things and try to attract new customers. The great thing about blogging is that it's free. You can typically do it if you're a business owner. It takes like 30 minutes of your time to write a 300-word blog about whatever the hot topic in your industry is for that week. So it's really easy to do. It's a great inbound marketing trick. So we'll just kind of talk just like some really quick bullet points of like structure whenever you're writing a blog. Like, we kind of touched on this a little bit, but so good blogs will typically involve some sort of a list. If you have just like big chunks of paragraph, you know, block text, like people kind of like, well, they'll just look at it in general. They won't read it. They'll just look at the structure of it and say, wow, that's going to take way too long to read.
Okay.
Which is dumb because like, if you structure it right, it's still the same amount of words, but people just get intimidated by that, like, oh, I can't get what I need fast. We'll move on and find something else.
Right.
So whereas if you put like bullet points or lists, then people will know, okay, I can just skim those bullet points, get what I need to get, and get out.
Okay.
And that way they, and so people are more likely, your bounce rates will go down if you do that.
Okay.
Another good thing to use is white space. Sometimes people get freaked out, they're like, I have all this white space, but that again kind of puts the reader at ease to know that it's not this big time investment, it's not this big like intimidating thing to read. If you have some white space, and, you know, space between paragraphs or some space between image, it'll help just put them at ease a little bit.
The white space, so it's just space between.
Yeah, where there's nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. Another good thing to do is if you do have some like, you know, 2 or 3 line paragraphs, bold some keywords in there. So like, people will see that, you know, that's the information about this, and they'll kind of read that sentence and whatnot. So it's a weird thing writing for like blogging and content. You almost assume that people are not going to read 50% of what's on the page.
Right.
Because they're going to read the bullet points, they're going to read the bolded words, and then they'll probably move on.
Right.
Unless you're just really enticing with them with some really cool story, they're probably just going to skim it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, but it's for whatever reason, that's how it works. Some other good things to do is link internally. So if you have a blog, you know, about something, you know, link it to another blog you wrote last week, you know, if it's still kind of referencing that or some other thing on your page, just to keep the on-site time really good, which again helps with SEO. Another thing that people kind of shy away from that they shouldn't is external linking. You know, so like link to another source. Obviously, you don't want to link to a competitor, But if there's some like generic, you know, site that like some government agency site that you're quoting, like then go ahead and quote it, because that shows that you did your research. And it also helps you with your SEO, because Google Webmaster likes to see that you did your research and you know what you're talking about, and it's credible.
Okay.
So it helps with your SEO, and it really doesn't take away from your page that much, as long as you're not, like I said, linking to a competitor.
Right.
And then obviously anytime, whenever you're writing, if you can use pictures or videos or any sort of multimedia to kind of spice it up to where it's not just like a blank, you know, page of text, it helps. It helps way more. I mean, I forget the numbers, but I think like click-through rates on likes, but even just like social media with pictures is like, I think it's like 60% higher than without. I mean, it's crazy.
You just want to make sure that it's non-copyrighted pictures.
Right, yeah. That you
pay for the image or whatever.
Yeah, make sure that you're not committing copyright.
Right, yes.
So there's great... like LibreStock, there's Unsplash, there's like freeimages.com.
Right.
So you just look around, poke around, you'll find some stuff that is no copyright and you can use it. And there's a lot of, like I said, really high quality stuff that will look great and will really help your blogs out.
Don't use Getty Images.
Yeah, Getty Images will email you so fast.
They will sue you in art.
Yes. Yeah, they don't care at all. So once you kind of, that's kind of, again, some kind of quick bullet points on structure. Obviously, once you write your blog, you're going to want to get the word out. So share it on social media. Try to get a subscription-based blog if you can. You know, have people sign up so that way they know whenever you publish one, they'll get an email. They can go back and read it. Make sure to do that as much as possible. And try to get into like a habit. So like, you know, every Wednesday you're going to write a blog and put it out just so people know to expect that. And that way it's frequent. And Google will kind of catch on to that too. And okay, all right, it's Wednesday. Maybe I should go see if there's new information to index.
Okay.
Perfect. And the other thing to do is, whenever you're promoting blogs, is don't be afraid to almost recycle content. You know, if you write a blog 3 months ago and you think it's still relevant to what your customers want, go ahead and repost it. Just because you wrote it 3 months ago doesn't mean it's not relevant.
Right.
You know, if it's good, sound advice that people still need, promote it again. You know, it saves you time and it'll still attract people to your website and still convert them.
We see it a lot of websites. It's just kind of a question is that people aren't blogging, they aren't adding new content. What would you say to them?
So it's gonna be hard for one, just promote your website. It's hard to drive traffic to that if there's nothing fresh on it, because there's only, if you say you have even just like 15 landing pages on there, even that's gonna get pretty stale.
So just add new content.
Yeah, and then I mean for driving traffic and for SEO purposes.
Right.
Google does not like stale content. Does not like stale sites.
Exactly.
So it's got a hard time for you to, unless you just have a ton of backlinks and have people quoting you as a source, which there's very few of those sites out there, especially for like small businesses. You know, you're going to need to put some fresh content on there.
So if you haven't started a blog, start a blog.
Yes, absolutely.
And then if you don't have time to write a blog, then
find someone that will.
Find someone, or a company like us. That's our sales pitch.
Yeah, good for sales pitch. Yes. We built up to it nicely. We'll call that good.
All right. Anything else, Josh?
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, you've been listening to Create the Movement Podcast. Join us for our next edition. Thanks for listening to this edition of Create the Movement Podcast. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.